I didn't come from a church background, and my beginnings of the journeys of faith, I had a very happy childhood, began not in this country, but in Belgium. Can anybody remember the days when people used to go hitchhiking? Some of you are old enough to remember. You youngsters, just type hitchhiking into Google and you understand what some of these oldies did. And I was hitchhiking across Europe, and I was in a country called Belgium. I was in the south of Belgium, in the Ardennes, and it was a lovely summer's evening. So I slept out in basically what we would call the shelter, the bus shelter on the village green. You could do that in those things. And the next morning, the shutters opened from a window of a house opposite. And I thought, I know what's going to happen here. I'm going to be moved on. But actually, what happened was the elderly gentleman, he was probably about 55, but when you're young, that's elderly. He came across, now he was a bit older than that, and instead of throwing me off and telling me to move on, he said, would I like to come in for a cup of coffee? And this was real coffee in Belgium in the 1970s. I mean, we were drinking, Maxwell House. Poison. They had real coffee, and they had Nutella before it became a massive commercial brand. It was absolutely amazing. They welcomed me, a stranger, into their home, gave me breakfast. And as I got in their car, because he insisted on taking me down to a place called Namur in the Ardennes, where I was going to be that day and go canoeing, as we traveled down, the scariest part of the story was it was a Renault 4. Kids, just Google Renault 4. But the really scary story was, in his broken English and my terrible French, he was telling me that he was hopefully going to be at Namur 2 weeks later because he was awaiting his cataracts operations. That's not good when somebody's driving a Renault 4. But as I got out the car and said, merci, monsieur, he said to me, he reached across and he said, young man, God is not far from you. It's the first person to really share with me anything about God. And that was the beginning of my journey. So there we go. Let's listen to how the Belgian government welcomed refugees a few years ago. Let's watch this video. Thanks.
Bienvenue.
Welkom.
Bienvenue.
Welkom in België.
Bienvenue.
Ahlan wa sahlan.
Welkom.
Bienvenue.
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 Soyez les bienvenus.
Bienvenue. Marhaba bekoum.
Bienvenue en Belgique.
Bienvenue.
Bienvenue.
Yowkoso.
Bienvenue.
Refugees welcome.
Bienvenue.
Roshkal Denis.
Bienvenue.
Bienvenue.
Bonjour Madé.
On est bien là.
Welcome.
Welcome in Belgium.
Bienvenue.
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 Welcome.
Bienvenue.
Bienvenue.
Soyez les bienvenus.
Imagine that on our state television. Now, that was a few years ago when they were welcoming Syrian refugees. Because Belgium knew that by welcoming refugees, they had an aging population. So my friends in Liège and Spa in the Ardennes, now 5-6 years on, those refugees are doctors, nurses, school teachers, engineers, construction workers, builders. There's a welcome that actually is beneficial both to those who receive the welcome and those who are welcoming. And that's much more reflective of what we see in the scriptures, in both the Old Testament and the New Testament, in what we see in Jesus, in the way in which he relates to people. All are welcome. If you receive a warm welcome, it makes you feel good, doesn't it? Yeah, okay, that's good. I'm going to get Anne, who's the minister here. Where's Anne? Anne's going to read something for us because some of us that are with me this weekend, Sam and I, Sam will read a little bit later on, we've been in Whitby this week. We've actually been away with other people that I mentor. People like Sam are pioneers and leaders within church, but not as you know it. And we've been away in Whitby this week. And on Thursday, we celebrated a day called St. Hild's Day. Now, St. Hild was a fascinating woman because she was around in the 6th century, and she actually formed a monastery, a community of both men and women. And she welcomed people from all over Britain. People who were poor, people who were rich, people who were religious, people who weren't religious. And her community was a really, really important thing in the 6th century and inspired so many people to love God and love their neighbours. And one of the liturgies, which is called the Hild Liturgy, there are these words that Anne is going to read for us. Thank you.
There is a friend's love in the gentle heart of the Saviour. For love of him, we offer friendship and welcome every guest. Lord, kindle in my heart a flame of love to my neighbour, to my enemies, my friends, my kindred all. From the loneliest thing that liveth to the name that is highest of all, seeing a stranger approach, I would put food on the eating place, drink in the drinking place, music in the listening place, and look with joy for the blessing of God, who often comes to my home in the blessing of the stranger.
And you see, Anne, the minister here, and Dan, who's an intern here, and the members of this church, this is one of the reasons why this church exists, to be a place of welcome, where all are welcome in this place. I came from, as I say, an unchurched background, and I rocked up, having come to faith in the Cairngorms of Scotland, I rocked up as a young person. Was I 17 years of age, Lindsay? Can you remember when we were young? Barbara, there are some people here today who were once young. And there were quite a lot of us young people who came from unchurched backgrounds, didn't know what we were doing, but we were welcomed. And every church should be a place where people are welcomed, as you are welcomed. I don't know if it's down the road now, but the Quaker Meeting House used to be near here. And a lovely name that is used of the Quakers, another name for them is called the Society of Friends. It's a great name, isn't it? If I was planting a church, I'd want to call it the Society of Friends, but they probably got it franchised. What Hild was doing was she was creating in her monastic communities men and women who were places where the Society of Friends was known. She's reflecting on a story of how Jesus met with a Samaritan woman. Any self-respecting Jew would never go to Samaria. They would go all the way around Samaria to get to Jerusalem. But one of the wonderful things about Jesus is he breaks all the conventions, all the traditions, and all the customs that exclude people. And Jesus goes down to Samaria, and in the middle of the day, gets into a conversation with a woman of a slightly dodgy reputation. There is both love and humor in John chapter 4, when Jesus says to her, go and fetch your husband. And she's kind of saying, well, which one? Because I've had four. And the bloke I'm with now, I'm possibly not married to. No condemnation from Jesus at all, because Jesus sees into the heart of this woman. He just doesn't see a person with eyes. He sees beyond the eyes and into the soul. And he sees a woman who's actually looking to be loved. And to be loved is to be known. And men had abused her. Men had used her. But here she met a Jesus who loved her not for what he could get out of her, but because he loved her, because he loved her, because he loved her. To be loved is to be known. To be known is to be loved. And so many people in our society today are crying out for that, to be loved, to be known, to be known, to be loved. And the good news of the Christian gospel is, the good news of Jesus is that every single person is loved by God. And his love can transform people's lives. To know that we're truly loved, that we're truly welcomed. We thank God who breaks all the conventions, who breaks all the barriers, who sees us not as belonging to this tribe and that tribe. Sam's a Liverpool supporter, but Jesus commands that he loves Everton supporters. Jesus breaks down all barriers that exist between us. As the rising traits and toxins of fascism emerge again within our society, Jesus challenges any notion of self-interest, nationalism, bigotry and racism, sexism, misogyny. Because Jesus' kingdom is a place where all are welcome. All are welcome. All are welcome in this place. If we could just, Rosalie, just have the next slide. This is one of the outworkings of what welcome actually means. It's a picture of two people. Here we have Jew and Arab, arm round each other. Go back to the next one, last one. They've got more than their arms around each other. There's love and affection. Next one. For a number of years in our Northumbria community, I was particularly involved with one or two other people in Northern Ireland. I used to go across to Northern Ireland in the Troubles. And I was last weekend with one of my really close friends who was very involved in the peace process in Northern Ireland. And, you know, you can have protocols, you can have agreements, you can have the Good Friday Agreement, you can publish papers, you can have policies, but unless the human heart is changed, then there's no true reconciliation. Here are two men, Noel Large, who is a member of the UVF, which is basically the thuggery of the Protestant loyalist community. There was the UDF, which was a bit more military and army, but UVF were basically gang hooligans, violent, conflicted men. Some of them lived in what was called Shankill area of Belfast, and they were known as the Shankill Butchers. I'll leave your imagination. They were not selling meat. They were butchers. And here is the notorious IRA soldier who was on the other side in the IRA, the Republican, the Nationalist movement. And this is Joe Doherty. And they came together because of Jesus. And now they are friends. And they continue to this day to travel and talk to people about the way in which Jesus breaks down the barriers that exist between people. People who've known injustice, people who've known violence, people who've had their friends murdered or beaten up or kneecapped. That's the power of Jesus to break down the barriers and bring his love. Next one. This is a word that comes from the last book of the Bible. And it's a picture that John gives of what the earth could be and what the earth shall be. And he talks about, after this I looked, and therefore before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, every tribe, every people, and every language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. That's referring to Jesus. You see, what you experienced at Notting Hill at the carnival is actually just a little foretaste of possibly what heaven might be like. It's also a foretaste of what we could actually have, the kingdom of God here on earth, if we would start to live as Jesus intends, so that we don't live separatist lives, but we actually live lives welcoming one another, honoring one another. And then it plays out in other ways, not just in international ways. Next slide. Between the elderly and the young. Lindsay and Barbara will know that when I came back to Harrogate, I had to get a job. And I didn't particularly want to go back home. Not that mum and dad wouldn't have had me back home, but I was an adult. I was 17. So I got a job as the residential assistant in Heath Lodge Care Home up towards Harlow Hill. And the very astute warden who appointed me, because I didn't know anything about old people. My granddad lived in Birmingham. I mean, old people were, as I say before, anybody who was over 45 years of age. And here we're really old people. And I wasn't there to kind of just do the domestic things. I was there just to be a young person in a care home. I think every care home should have a young person just to be minister of fun. I mean, they didn't appreciate the whitewater rafting and the canoeing and the rock climbing. But they enjoyed the theatre trips and the games and just kind of pottering about and having fun. And I discovered a love for older people. And the great thing about the church when it operates really well is that the very youngest to the very oldest all belong to the family of God. I'm not sure how old? 6 months? Well, he's actually rivaled by a five-month-old over there. I think the five-month-old is the youngest here. Right. We won't have a competition for the oldest, but one or two of you are leading contenders. But from the youngest to the very oldest, and for those of us who are middling and creeping up a bit, we're all welcome. And that's the gift of the church. It's the gift of a church. And it's so important for the church to embrace welcome in these days of bigotry and prejudice and tribalism and all the things that divide people. The church is a kind of antidote to that spirit that is tearing apart our society. And it's lovely that young and old can come together and to be welcoming. Sam, we're drawing to a close in a few moments. Sam's just going to read to us a couple of verses from Luke's Gospel. And these are words of Jesus directly. And then we're going to watch another little video. Thanks, Sam.
That's from the book of Luke, chapter 14, verse 23. When you have a party, go out into the roads and lanes and compel people to come in so that your house may be filled. Go out into the streets and lanes of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame.
And what we've been exploring this morning is actually the way God wants the world to work. We've been exploring this morning something of the values of Jesus, how he builds community. It's a bit countercultural. It's certainly counter some of the policies of our present government and our British society. But it's good news because it brings healing and hope. It brings salvation. It brings community together. And if we walk in the ways of Jesus, we might discover that we might have better life together. Not alone, but together. Just want you to take away this thought. Never underestimate your ability to make someone else's life better, even if you never knew it. Every single one of us, from the youngest to the oldest, we're here on earth to bless. The God of blessing passes his blessing on to us, that we don't keep it to ourselves, that we bless other people. Now, next slide. This is not goodbye, but see you soon. Can't promise to serve your bacon butties every time you come to church. It would take a church meeting and the deacons would have to consider it for 6 months and pass a resolution. But there will be occasions when bacon butties will return. Once a month. On the third Sunday. Not December, but mostly the third Sunday of every month, there are bacon butties and goodies. But more importantly, every Sunday, there's a warm welcome. Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure and a privilege and a joy to be with you. And I hope to return again in some day.